Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
On environmental resource management, this is the legislation I discussed earlier about tying those Seminole Gaming Compact revenues to environmental conservation, to water and wastewater initiatives. And so this is going to be truly billions of dollars of additional investment into our water infrastructure in the state, largely powered by those Seminole Gaming revenues. So I think Robert has started us on a healthy pathway with his Seminole app. And for those of you who are into sports gaming, you now can say that you're helping support water quality by doing so.
Contributing more than my fair share.
So that's a slice of that I just hadn't realized, that some of the Seminole Gaming deal that was supposed to go for environmental causes. Mixed emotions about that. I generally don't think that the state should be sanctioning, gambling to begin with, but it's kind of like the lottery. The money goes to education. Does it? Or does it just displace the need to fund education out of general revenue dollars? Kind of like, how sometimes you get a local option sales tax in place and that goes to, build to buy the fire truck. But would we have not bought a fire truck anyway? Sometimes we don't get more of the thing that it's supposed to get. What we just get is an alternate funding source for the thing that we were going to get anyway, and then they use the general revenue in order to buy the other stuff that they can't do through the lottery money or through the Seminole Gaming money or through the local option sales tax. So I get a little bit jaded about some of these, alternate revenue sources for supposedly good purposes. Another bill, this is the legislative wrap-up that was at the Chamber of Commerce last week. These are a couple of the consultants who were speaking from what was the name of the company again? I just have it in here in one of my notes. Gray Robinson, anyway. Chris Dawson and Robert Stewart. This is Chris Dawson again talking about the bear bill.
Speaking of bears, this became one of the more controversial bills of the legislative session. Of course, we do have a lot of bears here in Northwest Florida, but there were substantial issues over around Tallahassee and Franklin County, Wakulla County, where folks were physically being threatened, or their families or animals were physically being threatened by bears on their homestead. So this is essentially a stand your ground bill against bears now. You don't have to worry about being criminally charged if you do shoot a bear in self-defense. So, others have called it the right to bear arms as well. So with that terrible pun, I'm going to hand it back to Robert to talk about local government issues.
The right to bear arms. That's pretty good. I hadn't heard that one before. I like that. They talked about preemptions and that, the problem with legislation is that the south part of the state, if you're not familiar with this term, the Tallahassee is always engaging in preemptions. And a preemption is where they decide that we don't want local legislators, local city council members and county commissioners writing laws on all kinds of topics. Homelessness, for example, or minimum wage, or banning or not banning of plastic straws, or jaywalking, or, gun sales, or just there's all kinds of things. And what they do is they preempt it to the state. That means that, the locals can't make rules about these things, that they're going to be statewide the same across the state. And, we've got more follow-up on, preemptions. Last year they had the year before, the mother of all preemptions where you have to do the cost assessment. An example of a preemption this year was homelessness. It had a big preemption. It wasn't called that, but it really was the camping ordinance.
Tied in with affordable housing, of course, is homelessness. And that is a true reality that we have in a lot of our communities across the state. The legislature has really, I think, acted in response to what we're seeing more so nationally than necessarily what we've seen in Florida. But of course, if you turn on national news, you see pictures of homeless camps from San Francisco, from Seattle, from Portland. And the legislature really, I think, wanted to prioritize making sure that that doesn't happen here in Florida. And so what they did was pass this legislation. It was fairly controversial, one of the more heavily debated bills during this session. But essentially, it prohibits local governments from allowing any type of camping on public property. It gives homeowners and business owners a cause of action to go to the court system if they feel like the local government and their jurisdiction is not preventing public camping in these areas.
Remember, this was a huge bill. This prevents people from camping on public land overnight, right? And the local municipality must enforce that and cannot you know, turn a blind eye, or people can act on it.
It does allow cities and counties to establish homeless camps. They can only do so for up to a year. It has to be in designated areas in line with the statute. And then it requires services to be provided at those camps, including, of course, bathroom services, and then bans on drugs and alcohol, as well as access to mental health care services.
Again, if they want to allow a temporary up to 1 year place to have public camping for homeless people, that can be done. But there are all kinds of rules, and, you know, the funding issue, there's no funding provided for that. You know, you just have to do the enforcement. So there is a bit of an unfunded mandate nature to this particular preemption.
This legislation, again, was fairly controversial, there are costs associated with providing those services. There is not funding tied to this bill. So there are questions about, you know, where do local governments come up with this money? Robert talked a bit about glitch bills. I do think this is one where we may see the legislature come back and make some tweaks to this in coming sessions. But for now, that is the legislation as it was passed.
Yeah, you get this big sweeping legislation like the Live Local Act, and then you come back the next year and like, here's what we need to tweak. You get the big sweeping anti-public camping homeless regulation preemption, and then next year, you know, we may see some changes in how that one is shaped. So we'll see. A couple more elements on this. I just thought it was really interesting because a lot of the real meat and potatoes of what the government did or did not do this year doesn't necessarily get a lot of attention because of stuff that, and this is, you know, my own fault too, the topics that are sort of fun to talk about are the high profile culture issues kind of things. And then, you know, and we talked about the camping one along the way, but other ones like some of the other topics that come up just don't get a lot of attention. So I'm trying to give you the recap as they gave it to the chamber, because I thought this was a very interesting presentation. By the way, thank you so much to Lico Crump, who does audio for a lot of these things, providing me the super high quality recording of this, because sometimes getting that myself is challenging, and he has been great at doing that. And he's outstanding at audio production stuff. So if you've got an event, you know, Lico's the best. Anyway, Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
I second that. Lico is great.
No, Lico's the best.
if you are in Pace and Milton this morning, we are seeing some buildup on Woodbine Drive and Chemukla Highway at the respective intersections of Highway 90. Eastbound on 98, the traffic light at Avalon Boulevard or Garcon Point and the intersection of 98 is out. We have been told there is an officer directing traffic. We are seeing a lot of buildup. Just approach that intersection with caution there. And heading westbound on 98, you can expect to see a lot of slowdown happening right after the Navarre Beach Causeway going all the way to Hurlburt Field. So a few miles there of traffic building up. If you are driving over any sort of bridge this morning, whether it be from Milton into Pensacola over I-10 or Highway 90 from Pace and Milton into Pensacola, we are under a gale warning, so that is high wind advisory. So you expect some high winds driving over the bridge and drive with caution. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
So if you see gale this morning, be sure to warn her.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. No, we've been getting a lot. I said I looked on the wind map and didn't see confirming evidence that they were bad, but so many people have texted in and the gale warning. I'm like, well, I guess my wind map is wrong, so I apologize. Yeah, do be careful, especially if you have a high-profile vehicle. You know, if you're driving around in your RV this morning, maybe don't. I mean, you know, the box truck, maybe don't. 719 on News Radio Pensacola. Back to this conversation about what happened in the legislature this year. Now, I knew they were working on this street racing enhancement. Even I hadn't realized what part of this was all about. This is very interesting. You know, the street takeovers that you've seen, not so much here. I mean, I asked Bob Johnson about this. He's like, I've never seen one. South of – it's always South Florida. They do their stuff. Anyway.
I may have seen some of these videos that show up on social media of the street takeovers that happen with folks spinning their cars in intersections and really some scary stuff that can happen with folks who are a little bit out of control. The legislature had already passed a street racing bill a few years ago. Jason Pizzo, former prosecutor out of Miami, really had taken the lead on that for several years, and they added these street takeovers to that. Most important, you can now be criminally charged and fined, not just for the street takeover itself, but for watching it. So it gives law enforcement a chance to actually go and break these things up and apply some penalties for those that are there contributing to the chaos.
So you can get cited just for being a crowd member, which makes sense, because if you can somehow take away the crowd aspect of it, you can take away the incentive to perform for the cameras. You can maybe get rid of the people doing it. But yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It's somehow, you know, because they are participating in the activity of the illegality. And then the last one for now, and there's, I'll do one more of these at 8 o'clock. If you missed the earlier segments where I did this, I've been doing this all morning at the beginning of the 5, 6, 7, and it will be at the 8 o'clock hour, just because I think some of this stuff we didn't give enough attention to. And I want to make sure that you know all the different things that have been done in the legislature this year. This is a really good wrap up by these guys, by the way. Back to Robert Stewart talking about alcohol sales at basically like unsanctioned events.
Unlawful sale of alcoholic beverages. This bill really deals with, it came out of Orange County. You have these abandoned warehouses or abandoned properties that become late night party scenes, and it's become a real law enforcement mess because it's only a misdemeanor, or it was only a misdemeanor, to unlawfully sell alcohol. You would think it'd be more than that, but it wasn't. And so as a result, there was really no way to go after these illegal parties that were taking place in abandoned places. And the Orange County Sheriff really led the effort to pass this bill.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. If you're trying to figure out a way to work against these unsanctioned parties and alcohol that's being sold there, this might be the way to do it, you know? That's just, like I said, a handful of the laws that passed, and I've been talking about this all morning, so if you missed the earlier segments, you can always listen to the whole show. The easiest way is on the app. Just, you know, download the News Radio Pensacola app, and then on your phone, you can click one touch, you know, podcast. Boom, there you go. All the podcasts from the Pensacola Morning News, you can listen to full hours. If you missed stuff, you can also listen live. And it's actually kind of my favorite little pet art part of the app is you can pause me. You know, if you want to pause me mid and then you got to go do something, take a phone call and then come back to it, you know, no problem. 437-1620, 437-1620. Please do be careful. The wind is pretty bad, especially on the bridges this morning. So drive safely. If you are thinking about buying that next vehicle, trying to decide where to go, who to buy from, I recommend Frontier Motors. Had a great experience with them a couple of years ago. I mean, I knew, you know, Dave Ramsey had talked about them, but that's not why we went there. We just went there because they had a car we wanted to test drive. Nobody else had one. We drove it. We loved it. They told us the price. We weren't really looking to buy yet because we were just test driving it to see if we wanted it for later, really, because it needed a new head gasket, but not yet, you know, so we didn't need to replace it just yet. And we thought, well, I mean, that's a good price. Can you come down a little bit? Sure. Oh, no, that's a really good price. Can you give us a day? Sure. Can you come down again? Sure. Can we buy it? Like, that was how the conversation, that was the extent of the negotiation. And so we wound up buying a great Honda Odyssey from them. That was a 1-year-old car with about 12,000 miles on it. It has been great since, and the price was fantastic. So we had to buy it, really. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
God is love. Those simple yet inspiring words were penned by John the Apostle. John had firsthand knowledge of the love of God. It is John who is recorded in Scripture as the disciple whom Jesus loved. It is John who wrote that we love God because he first loved us. It was John who wrote Jesus' words, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And then John is recorded as being a witness to this greater love in which Jesus willingly laid his life down on the cross to die a substitutionary death, which offers salvation to the world. There is no greater love than sacrificial love. God is love.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
We see it every day. A guy comes into the men's clinic and guess what? The pills quit working, or they're sick of the side effects. And you know what else we see? Guys not confident in their relationship. At Wave Men's Health, we're the leaders in bedroom confidence. Understanding if you even need ED or low T treatment should be the first step, and the next should be choosing the treatment or treatment combination to build your confidence. Our urologist and physician group is offering professional, modern treatments with success rates as high as 92% and decades of experience. Our doctors are not going to send you an email with what might work for most people. We are results-driven. Concierge. You don't pay for medication. It's included, but you invest in the time it takes to get you where you want to be. We've built an experience with discretion that takes the worry out of going to the doctor. In fact, we've normalized it for guys all over Pensacola. Come see our friendly team in Pensacola and find out why we've been number one in men's health for years. Get a consultation and low T blood work with results on your first visit for $99. Get your confidence back in the bedroom and beyond. Go to wavemenshealth.com and book your appointment today. Wavemenshealth.com.
delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of Pensacola State College students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Registration for the summer and fall semester is now open. Go to PensacolaState.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu. Go here.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out how this Thursday morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this Thursday morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Yeehaw! Ride a cowboy! Yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay!
Get off the nuclear warhead.
Is Nirvana the reason you became a bassist, Jimmy?
That's the reason I'm into music at all.
Oh, wow. All right. Very cool. So I assume you love Buzz.
I do.
Love to see it featured. 727 on News Radio Pensacola. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
If you're in Payson, Milton this morning, traffic is building up on Woodbine and Chemukla at their respective intersections with Highway 90. And the light at University Parkway and 9 Mile Road is out. So I see a lot of traffic building up there. People
treating
that as, yes, that shouldn't slow anything down this morning.
Not even an important intersection at all.
No. Traffic on Davis Highway going north and southbound building up significantly at the intersection of Johnson Avenue right outside the hospital. If you're coming into Pensacola from Gulf Breeze heading eastbound, the light is out at the Garcon Point or Avalon Boulevard intersection with 98, so expect some traffic there. We have been told there is an officer directing traffic through that intersection. It is showing that it is lightening up a little bit, but please drive with, or approach that intersection with caution. Eastbound on 98, we are seeing a lot of traffic building up right after the Navarre Beach Causeway heading into Hurlburt Field. That is backed up for a few miles. And all of the bridges showing slowdowns this morning due to the high winds. We are under a gale warning, so expect some slowdowns there. Drive slowly over the bridges and just drive with caution. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
A group of airlines are suing the Biden administration over a new rule requiring upfront disclosure of airline fees. American, Delta, United, and others filed a lawsuit against the Department of Transportation over the rules which require airlines and ticket agents to disclose service fees. The FBI and Department...
You mean before you go through to the final tally, they should tell you how much a thing is going to cost?
It's a crazy theory.
Oh, my God. It's so wild. It's almost like the delivery platform for food bill that we just passed in Florida that requires them to tell you the total cost before you click order. It's amazing. Go on.
The FBI and Department of Homeland Security now warning that Pride Month events in June could be a target for terrorist attacks. Officials say the terrorist groups and their supporters may target large LGBTQ+ gatherings in June. Federal officials say there could also be attempts at impersonating police or bypassing security at those events.
Impersonating police? Well, that's a wrinkle I hadn't heard of before. Great. All right. And again, this is not connected to them particularly being Pride events, but just that they are big events.
Right,
and
just that they're large gatherings, huge crowds.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back with Sheriff Simmons next.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. Secretary of State Antony Blinken meeting with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in Kyiv earlier this morning during an unannounced visit to Ukraine.
A strong, successful, thriving, free Ukraine is the best possible rebuke to Putin.
China says Russian President Vladimir Putin will visit China later this week. Former President Trump's former fixer Michael Cohen turning on the former president yesterday, implicating him in a scheme to buy Stormy Daniels' silence about an alleged affair ahead of the 2016 election.
Cohen told the jury Stormy Daniels' story of having sex with the former president hit their inner circle like a bombshell. He said Trump told him, quote, "This is a disaster, a total disaster. Women are going to hate me. This is going to be a disaster for the campaign."
Fox's Eric Shaw. Mr. Trump will be joined in court by House Speaker Mike Johnson today. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio Pensacola. It is mostly cloudy across the area, some scattered showers, a bit of a wet start this morning, and right now 72 degrees in Pensacola. Governor DeSantis now including 15 counties in his state of emergency declaration after last Friday's bout with severe weather.
The initial declaration included 12 counties, but yesterday DeSantis added Escambia, Santa Rosa, and Okaloosa. This comes after the National Weather Service confirmed that an EF2 tornado touched down northwest of Munson and traveled along Highway 4 into Okaloosa County. The twister peaked at around 115 miles per hour. And besides the tornado, there were widespread reports of wind damage and power outages across our two-county area. Joe Ford, News Radio, Pensacola.
Thank you very much, Joe. And Rick Scott says that President Biden's position on Israel just doesn't make any sense.
What is Blinken and Biden thinking? The Israelis have told me what they have to do is destroy Hamas. Hamas, the last few battalions are down in Rafah. You know, they're telling the civilians to get out. Okay? They have, I mean, what would you do? I mean, they're killing your fellow citizens.
Senator Scott making those comments yesterday during an appearance on Fox Business. He says he's been to Israel and he saw the places where innocent Jewish people were murdered by Hamas operatives. He says every hostage needs to be brought home. Well, over the last year, First Baptist Church of Pensacola has been able to connect with and help over 200 area foster children. That's thanks in part to a program called Hope Florida, a program that connects people with faith-based organizations. It was started in 2021 by First Lady Casey DeSantis.
So we show up as the church. We don't hide behind that. We're not bashful. And we're able to minister to these families through their urgent needs and then develop relationships as we go on.
That is foster ministry leader Amy Floyd, who tells Channel 3 the church recently received a $20,000 grant from the program to continue their important work. Now, the Pensacola Beach Air Show, still a few months away. Excitement definitely building here, though, over what's sure to be a historic 2024 air show season.
So much pride and patriotism that it just swells up in your heart. When you just see the Blues, but then seeing them do that together, I mean, it's giving me chills right now just talking about it.
That is former NAS Pensacola commanding officer Captain Tim Kinsella. His reaction to the news that this November the Blue Angels will be sharing the skies above Pensacola with the Air Force Thunderbirds at the NAS Pensacola Homecoming Air Show in November. After teasing a joint performance last week, NAS Pensacola officials confirmed our suspicions yesterday. Those two teams started their preparations for their respective show seasons at the Blue Angels' winter home in El Centro, California. It is 7:34 at News Radio Pensacola. Jimmy's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
If you are on 9 Mile Road and the intersection of University Parkway, that light is out. Approach that with caution there. We do see a lot of traffic building up there. Traffic building up on Davis Highway coming south, north and southbound, right outside the hospital there at the intersection of Johnson Avenue and Davis Highway. If you're in Pace or Milton this morning, coming into Pensacola, we are seeing a lot of backup on Woodbine Road and Chemukla Highway at their respective intersections with Highway 90. Coming into Pensacola, heading westbound on 98, coming in from Navarre, the light at Avalon Boulevard and 98 is out. We have been told that there is an officer out there directing traffic, but traffic is backed up coming westbound about a mile and a half. And eastbound on 98, right after the Navarre Beach Causeway. You can expect to see traffic backed up for a few miles in Windhaven Beach going into Hurlburt Field, so expect delays there. We should also mention that we are under a gale warning, which is issued for high winds around 40 to 50 miles per hour. So if you are driving on any bridge this morning, you can expect to see a lot of delays from people driving with caution. But any bridge this morning, whether it be Garson Point Bridge or the Escambia Bay Bridge on I-10 or Highway 90, just drive with caution and expect to see a lot of slowdowns this morning. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing a much calmer day today. We will just have a few stray showers possible, high near 82 degrees. Low tonight, dropping near 72 degrees. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 85. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 69. We're going to have partly cloudy skies on Thursday with a 30% chance of rain, high near 83. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, we've got cloudy and windy conditions. It's 73 in Pensacola, 72 in Gulf Breeze, 72 in Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock. We have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Tesla's CEO Elon Musk has begun hiring back some of the members of its supercharging team that were dismissed last month. Mr. Musk's dissolution of the team stunned the vehicle sector because in the past year, the company convinced competitors to embrace its plugs as an industry standard and signed agreements with many of the world's biggest manufacturers to open its network to their customers. Federal Reserve Vice Chair Philip Jefferson said it's appropriate to keep interest rates steady until there is additional evidence that inflation will return to the central bank's 2% target. Mr. Jefferson added that he finds the lack of inflation progress in the first quarter concerning. Policymakers left interest rates unchanged, ranging from 5.25% to 5.5%. Futures are mixed. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials lost 81, the NASDAQ up 47, and the S&P 500 down 1. That's your money now.
Building-related illnesses. We get a lot of calls for this. Who do you know that is sick from the building they're in? Hi, this is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. Building-related illness symptoms include coughing, sneezing, headaches, itchy, watery eyes, and a host of breathing problems. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we have the solution. We can inspect, clean, and treat your AC system so you'll feel great. If you have dust issues or health problems that you feel are related to your home or office building, you should give us a call. We'll share the tips and secrets you need to know for a comfortable, healthy indoor environment. Gulf Coast Air Care is at 850-934-2768. Our service will extend the life of your air conditioner and your system will be much more energy efficient too. Let us help you by cleaning the most neglected system in your home or workplace.
At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at gulfcoastaircare.com.
Hit it, Sarah.
Serious cleaning, Gulf Coast Air Care.
Pensacola Christian Academy is the area's premier kindergarten learning program. Why? Because in a fun, safe environment, even four-year-olds learn to read, beginning with letters and sounds, progressing to reading words, sentences, and stories. And the best part? If your child attends K-4 and K-5 at Pensacola Christian Academy, you'll get first grade tuition-free. Spots are filling quickly, so go to enrollpca.com to register now.
The number one goal at Gulf Breeze Natural Gas is safety. If you're one of their customers in Gulf Breeze or Pensacola Beach, here are three ways to detect. Smell, sight, sound. If you smell a rotten egg odor, see dead vegetation, or hear a hissing sound, call them immediately at 850-934-5108. You can also visit their website, gulfbreezenaturalgas.com, and click the safety page to learn more about natural gas safety. Gulf Breeze Natural Gas. Your style, your comfort, your energy.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Thank you.
Good morning, 7:40 here on a very windy. I had to be persuaded by all the people that it is windy because I thought it wasn't, but it is definitely windy out there. So please be careful on the bridges crossing the water because that's where you experience it the most. Joining us now, we have Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. So let me get this clear. You didn't think it was windy?
Well, okay, so because I got people texting me and saying the wind on the bridge, and I looked up. I have what's usually a pretty reliable wind map that showed me 10 to 15 miles an hour, and I'm like, okay. But then everybody said, no, it's really windy, and I looked outside, and I'm like, well, I can see it now.
It's pretty windy out there.
So, you know, I will be corrected. Take that. Thanks for piling on, sir. I appreciate
you're welcome.
That.
I just might as well.
You're
like
the best.
To
it's certainly deserved.
So like you never piled on.
Well, yeah, that, exactly. Where's that bronze statue anyway? sorry. Not anywhere
in public.
Wasn't me? It wasn't you. You solved the... Anyway, let's move on. Friday, we had a shooting in Century. Is that right?
That's correct. We had a report of a male guy that had gotten shot in his home, apparently. These are the things he's alleges to have taken
place. I got you.
That,
okay.
Some dude broke in, shot him in the stomach, and then fled. We're not buying all of that, but luckily he looks like he is going to survive, and we are going to continue to talk to him, trying to get the information that we
really
need.
You mean people get involved in incidents and then don't tell the whole truth about them sometimes?
That's exactly what I mean.
Yeah, it's funny because when I say alleged, it's because of legally I'm obligated to say alleged. When you say alleged, it's like I don't believe him. I have my doubts about this story. So fair enough. All right. That actually brings something up. We haven't had a lot of bad events in Escambia County this last week, which is great. I'm always happy to have that be light. But we did see this very awful shooting over in Baldwin County, right? You had like a group of 1,000 people get together at this outdoor party. People got into a conversation, and you wound up having, I mean, God, what is it, like 30 people got shot, some crazy, you know, 3 people killed.
I think 18 people got shot.
18, okay.
It was an enormous number.
I mean, because gunfire breaks out in a crowded area, and who knows what can happen. But it made me think, we've had incidents, not quite like that, but we've had the big parties, you know, the big outdoor parties, and we're getting into that time of year where it's warm and people want to go out and celebrate. And, you know, I remember, like, you know, I think Lexington Terrace was one and Bristol Park was one. And I forget the name of the park that's up towards Century.
Carver Park.
That's right. There's been stuff like this. But I know you guys have taken action to kind of thwart some of these events from taking place because the event makes the crime more possible, right?
Well, there's a couple of things that we've done in the past. Last year alone, we've taken advantage of a statute that allows for unpermitted spontaneous events or events that are advertised on social media, you know, where anyone can come, you know, open type parties, and they're unsanctioned. If we get wind of these things, we can post signs that show that this is a special event zone. And what that does, it allows us to not only ticket the cars that are in proximity or violating the law, but also the fines are like doubled, and then we can get costs for the tow trucks and all sort of thing. And once we figure out who the organizers are, we can hold them accountable for it. And it works pretty well. If you can find an organizer, if you can find someone that's posted a booth up there and that sort of thing. Because if you're there and you have a booth and we say, hey, who's in charge of this party? I don't know anything about anything. We have to go then. That means there's no one in charge of this thing here, so we can shut it down. So that helped a lot last year, this posting of a special event area. There's also one that we alleged to have threatened to shut down the beach if during spring break a lot of people would come here and take over the beach like they try to do. We had signs made up saying this beach is closed, and this, again, taking advantage of another state statute that allows the sheriff of the county to shut down.
When was that?
A riotous. This was, I sent an email to all the members of the Center of Island Authority and to the Board of County Commissioners at the beginning of spring break because we got word that like Panama City and some of these other counties were shutting down their areas. And we got word, intelligence was that they were going to come to Pensacola Beach.
Oh, okay.
But we didn't want them to tear up our beach. So I had the signs made up. I actually issued out hammers to the lieutenants on the beach so that they can post these things in a in an open area so that people understand what's taking place. But we didn't have to do that, fortunately. We had enough security. We had enough cameras out there. We didn't have any problems. So this is how law enforcement can address some of these things.
Didn't actually go up?
No, we never had to use that.
That would have been a response to crowds coming.
That's correct.
I gotcha. Okay.
Well, not just crowds. We're all for crowds. Difficult. Just unruly crowds that cause raucous behavior.
So you guys have been proactive at preventing these large gatherings when they don't have permits.
As much as we can be, yes. And as long as we're aware of them.
And that was the, it was right by your offices. You had, I don't want to say, was it the Boys and Girls Club? I think it was the Y, but it wasn't the Y.
Right.
And that was kind of one of those sort of situations too, but after the fact, right?
That's correct. Sometimes these things happen, I say spontaneously, but they happen so quickly that we have, we're a little bit slow to react.
Right.
And in that particular situation, we did get there. We did basically shut that down once we had the response that we needed.
We're talking to Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, hang out for just a second. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
If you are heading westbound on 98 from Navarre, the light at the Avalon intersection is out, and we are seeing traffic backed up for about a mile and a half. Eastbound on 98, you're going to see a lot of traffic right after passing the Navarre Beach Causeway going all the way to Hurlburt Field. At the intersection of 9 Mile and University Parkway, the light is flashing red and yellow, so approach that intersection with caution. And we are under a gale alert. That is a high wind advisory, so drive carefully over any bridge this morning. And expect to see a lot of traffic if you're crossing I-10 or Highway 90 over Escambia Bay or Garson Point and the 3 Mile Bridge over Pensacola Bay. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Back to Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, I know you're well familiar with this terrible incident that took place in Okaloosa County. The Hurlburt, they're now on a stand down in basically grief and mourning over this air crewman, getting killed by a deputy. FDLE is investigating. I know you've seen the body camera video, and I want to ask you to comment on the shooting, and mostly because I would put you in the unfair position of having to comment on another agency that they haven't made a decision and they're waiting for law enforcement to play out. So it'd be, just as inappropriate for you. People sometimes ask, why don't you ask them the hard questions? Well, because if I ask him a question that he can't answer, it kind of make us both look stupid. And what's the point of that? Like, you got to have some good discretion about what you can and can't ask. I will say and what's productive to ask. I will say the one question that I had about this is, I think about myself as a homeowner. I'm putting myself in this airman's shoes. If I'm at home and somebody knocks on my front door, and I didn't call for law enforcement, okay? Right. Obviously, if somebody says they're the cops, if I can look out my front door and see that, well, that's one thing, okay? But let's say I'm not sure, or let's say the keyhole doesn't show them because you're trained not to stand in front of the door for very obvious self-defensive reasons. What do you want me to do? Because I'm bringing a gun to the door if I'm worried. 100% I'm bringing a gun to the door. But what then do you want me to do so that I comply, but also I'm safe and you're not threatened?
Well, again, that's the key there, I guess, is that what would a reasonable person do when they hear a knocking on the door late at night? I don't recall.
It was actually daytime in this case.
Okay. So, yeah. So I think that I always look out a peephole or look through the window area of my front door before I open the door. And many times I come to the door armed. I don't know every time I come to the door armed, but I don't just open up the door unless I am certain who it is.
Mm-hmm.
If it appears to be a delivery guy or someone that I might be expecting, then yes, I would likely open the door. If it is someone that I'm not aware of, certainly if it's at night, then I do go to the door with a gun. Mm-hmm. I don't know that an individual can see the gun that I have, but I do have the weapon.
So if I'm trying to discern whether you're law enforcement or not and trying to be safe and, we had this whole conversation the other day about, it seems, you're in your right to have a gun pointed not at somebody on your property, but at the same time, you got to be smart about, how people react to that. Do you want me to have it, concealed? Do you want me to say, hey, give me a minute, let me go put it on a table? What kind of interaction do you want me to have with law enforcement to avoid a problem, as much as we can?
Well, I think the difficult thing here is that we're talking about something as if it were a perfect scenario, if everything worked out right.
Right.
And 99.9% of the time, things work out perfectly because people likely do come to the door with a gun somewhere, and their interaction with law enforcement is perfectly fine. But then there's always that one situation, and this is certainly a terrible tragedy. And as you mentioned, I don't know enough about how did he know there were law enforcement. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't see that on the body camera. I do know that the deputy did announce a couple of times, not the first time apparently, but a couple of times afterwards. So again, we're talking as if there's a perfect scenario where it's just a knock on the door, and you know, hey, you know, is this your lost dog or something of that nature, and those interactions go quite differently. So the deputy, again, I can't put myself in deputy spot. I don't know what he was thinking, what his thought process was. So again, that's why I can't comment on that. Even if it were our own officer involved shooting, I'd be unlikely to comment about the thought process of the deputy, because the deputy likely has not been interviewed yet. Mm-hmm. And then I would not have, or at least this situation, I do not have the background on how this individual knew or would have known or should have known that there was a deputy at the door. So this is, again, that's why that there's an independent agency, the mm-hmm. Florida Department of Law Enforcement, that's reviewing it, and then the state attorney's office is really the one that's going to make the determination on whether it is criminal or not. And then ultimately, Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office will make that determination on whether it was appropriate within their guidelines.
We got a bunch of events that are coming up that you guys are doing. I mean, a lot of events. In fact, tomorrow you have the Fallen Officers Memorial. Is that right?
That's correct. Tomorrow and right in front of the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, which is 1700 West Leonard Street, at 9:00 in the morning, we will have our annual law enforcement memorial. Is opportunity for us as an agency to pay tribute to those who lost their lives in the line of duty for Escambia County citizens. That will be Wednesday, tomorrow morning at 9:00 in the morning.
And then you have Coffee with a Cop coming up also Thursday.
Yeah, our Coffee with a Cop, they draw pretty good crowds. People love coffee. And in this case, we'll be at Drowsy Poet right there on Brent Lane.
Oh, all right.
And we'll be there from 7:30 to 10:00. Come on in. We'll buy you a cup of coffee if you're inside there. That is May 16th, again, the very next day at Drowsy Poet on Brent Lane.
And then the 21st and thereafter next week, you've got some stuff. You've got Dining with Deputies, so you're giving me coffee this week and next week food?
Well, I don't know if we're giving you food, but I think doing on the Dining with Deputies is these are foundation events. Bubba's 33 has decided, hey, we want to support the Sheriff's Office, and the best way to support the Sheriff's Office is through Escambia County Sheriff Foundation. And so Dining with Deputies is, if you go to Bubba's, they will give us a portion, or they'll give the foundation a portion of the proceeds from everything that you buy there. So it's all day long. It's lunch and dinner. So we're asking if you're going to go to Bubba's anyways, and what a great place to go. You can go there on that date, and you're liable to see me. I'll probably eat twice there myself, and you'll see a lot of my partners with me during lunch and during dinner time.
So it's more dining for deputies, not necessarily dining with deputies.
Yes, that's exactly right. Okay. I've been accused of doing this because I just want to eat at Bubba's 33, and I don't know that there's any falsehood to that.
And then coming up on the 24th, you've got a movie night at Brownsville?
That's correct. We're starting our movie nights back up again. This year we'll have about four of them. This next one, the first one really, will be May the 24th at 5:30. Brownsville Community Center. Again, this is the large movie screen, the portable movie screen that we bring that we bring to them. And we buy, the foundation actually pays for hamburgers and hot dogs, and we'll feed them. This one will be Brownsville Community Center. I think it's actually behind their little park behind Brownsville Community Center. We've been talking about doing this one since I've had the roundtables, the gun violence roundtables. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. A year and a half ago or so, we talked about having something in Brownsville, and we had one set, but the rain, lightning, it was lightning storms, we had to cancel it. And so this one looks, hopefully the weather will be better. May 24th, 5:30, Brownsville Community Center, or right behind it, Sheriff's Movie Night. You can come, you can eat a free hot dog, hamburger. And again, this is paid for by the Escambia County Sheriff Foundation. I was just going to text and said, hey, we can clarify, it's called Dining for Deputies.
Oh, it is?
As you said. Dining for Deputies.
Marketing, you know, people.
But
alike.
There will be deputies.
There will be
so
some.
You could be dining with them if you'd
so
like to.
Many prepositions potentially here. We could dining with, dining near, dining for.
I just got food on my mind. I just know Bubba's 33.
And again, you mentioned, but I just want to make sure people know, the expenses for these various kind of community outreach events are always funded by either drug seizure money or the foundation or a combination thereof, right?
That's correct.
Okay, very good. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thank you so much for the time and for helping keep us safe, and we appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
755 News Radio Pensacola. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
If you are heading, if you're heading westbound on 98, you can expect to see a lot of traffic building up at the intersection of Avalon Boulevard and 98 coming into Pensacola from Navarre. That light is out, so please expect delays. It's backed up for about a mile and a half. Heading eastbound on 98, right after the Navarre Beach Causeway, going into Hurlburt Field through Windhaven Beach, that traffic is backed up for a few miles, so expect some delays there. In Milton, you can expect to see some backup crossing the Blackwater River Bridge there, going back to the Ward Basin Road. In Pensacola, we are seeing a lot of backup coming off the Highway 90 onto Scenic Highway. That traffic is backing up right at the intersection of Olive Road and Scenic 90 there, going back almost all the way to the bridge. So if you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Join Tim Ireland from Forrest Jordan & Associates, the Generator Guys, Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tim will be sharing his expertise on home generators and what's involved in getting one for your home. Information on why you would need one, system costs, and what a home generator can do for your home, and answer questions on how they work.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Hurricane season is here, and now is the time to make a plan and know your zone.
In the case of an evacuation, have a plan to go to a hurricane shelter, hotel, or stay with a family or friends. If you're ordered to evacuate, you need to leave. You can rebuild your home, but you cannot rebuild your life. This hurricane season, know your zone. Know your home. Learn more at floridadisaster.org. This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
All the big national news in a conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins from 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Merry New Year!
Happy New Year. In this country, we say Happy New Year.
Thank you for correcting my English, which stinks. I am Nanja Ibuko, exchange student from Cameroon.
I'm just saying, there's a lot of parts of Trading Place that wouldn't get made today, including Dan Aykroyd's character in that particular scene on the train. 7:58 on News Radio Pensacola. Of course, that was Eddie Murphy, but, you know, anyway, if you know it, you know it. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Jury selection continuing today in New York in the corruption trial of New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez yesterday. Dozens of potential jurors were dismissed by the end of the day. Not one had been selected to sit on the trial, which could last up to a couple of months.
I love how John Stewart described it last night. So Bob Menendez, Cuban-born, I guess, Bob Menendez. Is that true? I'm not sure. Anyway, Cuban ancestry. Conspired with foreign businessmen in exchange for gold bars and bags of money to create a monopolistic scenario surrounding halal meat distribution within the United States.
Very descriptive.
By pressuring the Department of Agriculture. All right. Yeah, it's a bit of an obscure one. Go on. What else you got, David?
Also, the Biden administration standing firm in its opposition to a full-scale invasion of Rafah. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says they will not be providing Israel with weapons if they launch a major military operation, but so far they've only carried out targeted operations.
Very good. I guess he Googled how much is a kilo of gold worth at some point.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.